Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 69. Bring the pain!
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston!
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade. I'm King Baby Duck.
I'm Bluonic.
I'm Anvil.
And what a fun time we had at the Love Sack Speedrun Classic, didn't we?
Oh yeah, that was a fucking, that was just a great day altogether. I mean, we went down to Gillette, and the stadium, I had never been down there, so it was just like a great, you know, thrill for me just to actually be next to the stadium.
Yeah.
That you watch on TV like all the time, and I just like, I got out of the vehicle and I walked like a couple paces and I looked up and I went, holy shit, that's a huge bitch. So yeah, I'm definitely looking forward if we can get our hands on some like Patriots tickets and go sometime or something like that.
Because yeah, it would be preferably so much fun. Like sometime when it's a little bit warmer still, because you don't want to be like freezing.
You need to be ice cold. You're not allowed to wear a shirt, and you have to have stuff written on your belly.
That and you gotta freeze your fucking nipples off
or your testicles, which I do not want.
Well, these two are there. I was at work.
Yep. Yeah. But we did win you those Bronson Arroyo band tickets.
Yeah, we got 4 tickets to go see the Bronson Arroyo band, so he was psyched about that as soon as we called him up.
Yeah!
Even though we had, like, a pick of the other bands that were there that I was kind of like...
Yeah, I was like, who the fuck is this? Yeah. Who the fuck is that? Yeah. I don't know who the fuck these people are.
I think the other people that won, they got a good couple of pairs of tickets, too, so...
Yeah, I think one of them got Boyz II Men tickets.
Boyz II Men...
But did you notice, though, that the one, that special country show, they didn't just have 4. They probably had all the tickets for
that
show.
They had about, like, well, that was the thing. I thought we were just getting the actual little packet that they had right there. They were just like, nope, 4 tickets. I was like, oh, there's more in there. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, altogether, the Lovesack Company, this was just kind of like one of those things that kind of came out of left field for us. We got invited, and we were able to walk around. And I mean, like, when we were able to walk around, we got free roam. So we were able to hop up on the stage, we were taking pictures, we were doing everything. We're working on putting that up very soon, hopefully.
Yep, I have the pictures all set. We just got to do the whole article part.
Yeah, the article is going to be a fun part to put together. But yeah, we're taking care of that. And but more or less, it was just a fun time altogether. I mean, we got free drinks, and then we paid like $10 for the burgers and fries. And
they were great.
They don't call that VIP for nothing. Like, the VIP burger was fucking good. It was just, you know... it almost like melted in your mouth, basically. It was that good. But next to that, you know, some really hot women.
Yeah.
4 TVs set up with 4 Nintendo systems between 4 separate games here.
Because we had Mega Man 2.
Battletoads.
Contra.
And Super Mario Brothers. Now, that was the funny thing. They actually did a 2-part thing, which I was kind of surprised about. I thought it was just going to be like the one and done kind of situation. But they had the first setup... And all the people that won from all the surrounding places that they were at came to this one setup, play the game, and I guess 6 people, they picked for the second round to play in the setup, and whoever won out of those, well, they basically paired them up, and they put them together on the same game, which was the Mega Man game.
Right.
Then then from the Mega Man game, they popped out and went, surprise, and gave you Super Mario 3.
A la the Wizard.
Yeah. I mean, there were a couple people that were kind of pissed about that. But I mean, Yeah, I mean, it was a really...
I thought it was cool.
I thought, you know, the way they did that, they held, you know... I mean, that's kind of like one of those games that has always been, you know, really fun to play, Super Mario 3. But also, like, one of the members that we were talking to that were playing the games and stuff like that said that it's like, oh, yeah, we were practicing for football but ended up playing hockey or something like that. And I was like... Well, yeah, that's kind of true. I mean, you went through the four basic games, and if you had those at home and you're playing those all the time, and then all of a sudden they're like, here, we'll throw this at you. Well, at least it wasn't like Jason versus Freddy or something like that. It was a fucking old Nintendo piece of shit games. But yeah, I mean...
It was cool having Minus Baby performing during the finals.
Yeah, that was actually pretty cool. That was actually some pretty good music. And then we also had a couple of the people that were running around, too. They were actually playing with the DJ music that they had set up at the actual...
And we were with a couple people that were also fucking around with it, too.
Yeah.
We were trying to put some Deadmau5 in, Queens of the Stone Age, Rammstein, and a few other things.
Then we met with one of the marketing managers from Boston, in the Boston area. His name is Chris, and yep. He was wicked cool. He showed us how to, you know, do the whole setups with the actual couches that they had for Lovesack. Because Lovesack is not not a dirty website. If you go there, look it up or anything like that, there are some hot, you know, women on the couch. But those are just models. Mm-hmm. You just, you know, keep it in the model section. It's not like, you know, porn or anything. But they have the really awesome couches, and the setup is sweet because of the fact that...
They call them adult Legos.
Yeah, it's basically that, or I want to say Lincoln Logs, basically, because of how the setup was. They had, like, steel plates, like, about yay big. And what it does is when you you can hook one part of the chair into that one, and then if you're sweeping it under and you pop in another chair, so then you can put two couches together, either armless or with the arms, and so it was just insane. I think what we're gonna have to do is when we do the article, we're gonna have to put up the video of the Lovesack 69 positions of the couches that they have for the you know. The actual video for their website. It was actually, it's pretty classic. It's an awesome video. That also shows the owner of it, Shawnee D, which we also met too.
Yeah, Shawnee Nelson.
Yeah, we went up to him, we shook hands, we said, this is a great event that you guys have, and if you guys have any more, just invite us and we'll see what we can do and go to it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the first time they're at Boston, really, but it was just
last year they did it in New York City.
Yeah, they did
it
in New York City.
And we said it went very well, but they said they had a lot of stuff to learn from that one, and then they brought it over to Boston. And
they actually, I believe they said they got more towards the Boston setup than they did in the New York, and I was kind of actually surprised about that.
Yeah, considering Boston area, well, Boston itself is 650,000 people, and New York's got like 9.1 million.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy. But they also learned that they were like, oh yeah, if we do this in a mall, we should not just keep it in like a store. We actually keep it in the middle of the actual
mall.
Yeah, mall. So whenever anybody's walking by, they have to figure out what they're looking at.
Yeah.
But the other thing that was cool was they had the four TV set up, and then they also had like the Lovesack beanbag chairs, like,
which are comfy as hell.
I'm telling you, you could do a front flip into the friggin' thing and not touch the ground.
They were a lot better than the beanbag chairs that were at PAX East.
Yeah, sadly, I have to say that. Yeah, that they were a hell of a lot more comfortable, because I think more or less with the bags that we dealt with PAX East are that nylon stuff that's like really woven together, and then it has the actual like little pebbles of like styrofoam in it. This one was totally different. It was cloth. And the beauty of the actual whole couches that they had there, too, because we were able to just... You were able to plop down in the couches with the designs that they made and stuff like that. And just watch all the key people, you know, playing the games. Chill out. Relax. It was awesome seatings. Great everything.
Yep.
And the beauty about the chair that we learned from Chris as well was... The whole thing is machine washable.
Yep. You just like, unzip it, pull it off,
and then throw it in the wash and... Toss it in the dryer, and then bingo, back onto the couch. And then also they have different covers for the chairs, too, so it makes it even that crazier that you could switch the colors of the chair whenever the hell you want to.
Perhaps we can entice them into doing a B3 design.
Yeah, I know. If we could talk them into doing a B3 design, we'd be fucking happy as hell. But the other thing is they're actually... Chris, the marketing manager...
Chris Stringham is his name.
Stringham, yeah.
I have his card here.
He's going to be doing a whole opening, actually, on the 29th. in Burlington. We haven't gotten the address yet because we're going to go on...
Burlington Mall.
Burlington Mall, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, well then Burlington Mall there. They're going to be opening up a new store in there, so you got to go and check it out. It's probably going to blow your mind.
Yeah.
Because of how crazy the chairs are going to be.
And believe us, we wouldn't plug anything that sucked.
No, we're not getting any pay for this or anything.
What are you talking about?
We wouldn't want anything that sucked, but we talked about strippers and hookers before.
Metaphorically!
Fucking whore. Anyways, so with that said...
It hasn't even been 24 hours yet.
I know.
Leave me alone, man. Leave me alone.
You're already going back to your whore ways. But yeah, they did a great job with this whole setup, and hopefully they're going to come back around hopefully next year, but they might be moving around, hopping from states to states in this sense, wherever they have the whole new
thing. Well, if they stay in the whole New England vicinity area, I think we'd be good. Even if they go to Foxwoods.
Yeah,
they can gamble before the event.
I'm not a gambler. I need money. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. But yeah, hopefully... seeing that their Lovesack business is doing so great, we can only wish them to keep going and keep making some more kick-ass couches and stuff like that.
Yeah, we're thinking about doing something with his bomb shelter
design. Yeah, we're going to see what we could do and hopefully get some money up. And that's the beauty of this couch is you could buy by section. Their section or sectionals, or as they call them, sactionals, they have it. Yeah. What they do is they have a whole setup where you can actually buy little by little. And then what it is basically by the time you're like, within 6 months, you could probably have the whole room like built into a sectional setup.
So, how much for just one?
Well, they had not a bad setup. Like, the base of it with like the whole setup was, I don't know, probably around 150 to 200, something like
that's
that around
bad.
There. It's not a bad deal, really, altogether. Like, when you get, when you see the whole actual set, sectional as they have it, like, one of them costs maybe, over 1500 probably. I'm just going off the top of my head from what I remember looking at the thing. But also, Chris was telling me the website's just a tad bit more expensive. But if you go to the store, you can definitely get, money's worth.
I mean, look at this design right here. I mean, that looks like quality.
Is that what we show our fans or no?
Nah, more or less, we're going to have to say that, just go to the website. What is it, lovesack.com or something like that? So, yeah, go to lovesack.com and you can check that out.
So it's one of those, if you decided that, you want this huge extravagant thing once a month, go buy a new piece.
You just buy a new piece. Yeah. And that's the beauty of it is you could basically have it start off as just a regular seat, which has the the backing on it, two sides, the pillow on the backing, you sit in it like it's just a regular seat and everything like that.
Yeah,
it's that fucking cool. Now, along with that, then you could buy the pieces to add on, and they have this metal brick thing that you just go and click into that, and it locks the couch together. And the beauty of it is it's strong.
You can make it as long as you want.
You make it long. You can switch the couches around. You can make them look either way. Like, saying this, it's like you got one of those lobby business type places and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect setup that you could go and make it any friggin' design you want. You can make it go into a snake pattern, whatever the hell you want. It's just that fucking cool that they did for this this whole setup.
Or for people like us that have fight parties, once a month, get all your your group taken care of.
I mean, hell, with the whole setup that they have, actually, I was thinking if you could get it to go all the way, connect around the room, and then the beauty of it is one of those bases is actually you could use it to put your feet up on. Now, the other thing about that is you can move out the pieces from underneath that part of that couch, interconnect those, so everybody could be like, when they sit down, all their feet are up. So it's like you basically could create a bed in the whole room. You could cut the whole room in half with one of their love sectionals.
Well, what you can do, too, is you can, maybe circle around, a table, do a little poker.
Yeah, exactly. You could do that, too.
You could do it like I would and, take out the middle pieces, have a couch, everybody leaves, put them in, and go to bed.
Yeah, basically.
Save money.
It's a sweet deal because, there's, no real moving parts except, what you do, have to move around the couch and put it down there.
Yes.
And the brilliant part about it is too, underneath it has, it's not going to... From sitting down in it, you usually see a couch, U-shape on you. Yeah. After a while, it gets just, worn
the butt
out.
Groove.
Yeah.
Yeah, the arse groove is crazy. And I wish we had this big guy here, but We're going to bring him to the Burlington opening and everything like that and have him sit down on one of the couches and see how it goes. Because of the fact is they have this actual special U-shape underneath there that actually has like a durable foam or something like that they designed themselves specially just so it will stop that from doing that, from actually creating that little U-shape.
No more butt groove?
Yeah, no more butt groove. So this is more or less, it's an awesome gaming couch, whatever. I mean, I know I was just like, dude, this is going to be awesome. We could get the football games. We could get this. He's like, Chris goes, what about the ladies? Fuck yeah, bring the ladies over. Because this is one of those couches for it. So yeah, I mean,
it's not a love sack for nothing.
Yeah, exactly. So all I can say is two thumbs up for love sack easily.
Awesome and fucking stuff. Awesome event too. Lots of fun. Got to meet a lot of great people.
Had awesome.
Chat with them. Spread the word to B3, baby.
Yeah, we were able to toss a couple cards out to everybody. So hopefully they've checked out the website and see what we've done. And hopefully they'll spread it on to their friends.
Yes.
Because that's the way we were getting out there.
Yeah, you know, check out lovesack.com.
Yep, lovesack.com.
Yes.
All right, now.
And you'll get sacked.
Well, wait, hold on. I had one suggestion about their actual, one of the beanbag section, the couch.
Yeah.
Well, just the beanbags altogether. One they should call it the tea bag. Now, the only reason I say that is because of the whole setup of the couch, is it would be awesome to have one of those couches that actually smells like tea or something like that. So it's kind of like aromatherapy at the same time while you're sitting down on it. And then the beauty of it is you take the thing off, put it in the wash, put it back on, you get the smell back again. Anyway, so it's just one of those things that they could do aromatherapy at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, lavender.
Yeah, that'd exactly. Death. Death by lavender, they should call that one. But yeah, I mean,
being an athlete, you know, the smell of lavender helps you relax.
Yeah, exactly. So whatever you can do to maybe do that, Shawnee, go for it.
I think because of you guys, I might go buy one.
Yeah.
To relaxing.
Because,
you know, after a hard day at the gym or training, or just a hard night at work, it can be something comfortable and relaxing.
Yeah, especially just need a couch that's durable. I mean, I got my nephews, they fucked up my 3-seater couch, and it's been fucked up ever since. So, it ripped out the lining. And the way that when Chris was able to flip the couch over and I was able to look at everything right there and then, like, it just was amazing how much you were able to see. And it looks like it's perfectly durable, everything like that.
Yes.
And I'd like to go and put it through the test. So if you guys want us to do it, we'll test it the hell out. I know, I will.
Me too.
I did the little test of the last minute friend crashing over at your place.
Yes, exactly. Over. Yeah, that's more or less, it would be perfect for that. I mean, you could probably get about three to four people to sleep on that whole couch setup.
I know you need something new because I slept on the couch.
That's the 3-seater I was talking about. The 3-seater was the couch eats people. So he was eaten last night by the couch. So
and not in a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's never that good.
And I only slept for like 3 hours because of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe four.
Mm-hmm. Well, imagine if they start doing like a love sack bedding section.
They do blankets too. So you got the blanket set up. So it's
maybe
gonna
I can
crazy.
Get one that'll cover my mattress so I can cover my sheet too.
Yeah, they might do that. It might be, it could be.
I need to talk to this man.
Yes.
Is it the 29th yet?
Yeah. No, that's Friday, man.
Yeah.
But anyways, all right, well, let's go and press on to music now.
Yeah, we've been wanting to talk about this for a while. Serge Tankian's new album, Imperfect Harmonies. And this is his second solo album. System of a Down is still on hiatus.
I don't think they're going to get back together or anything like that in the near future. If I'm lucky, it's going to be 2016 by the time they get back together. I think there was something that went on with the whole actual band. That's why they had to go on a break or something like that.
Yeah.
So, I don't want to blame it on anybody, but I think it's just more or less seeing that Darren, how could it be the fucking drummer? The drummer is too fucking cool, and he's usually quiet and simple. The bassist, he's cool too.
It's usually the drummer's problem.
No. It's not Lars Ulrich from Metallica, but I'm just saying, more or less, I think it was between the fact that Darren wanted to sing a little bit more. So now that's why he's got his band, Scars on Broadway.
Which isn't too bad.
It's not bad. I like this stuff. I like listening to that stuff. I listen to that. I mean, that's a sad thing. It's like I put System of a Down on, Scars on Broadway, Serge Tankian, and everything like that, just to keep on like listening. And fuck, I just want to mix the music together. Just be like, yeah, see, that was System of a Down. Oh God, why? But more
find
or less,
the corner,
you know, kind of
love sack.
I,
what the fucking thing.
Yeah. So anyways, but with the whole thing going on with this album, I was pretty impressed. It's just, it's not...
It is different from System, and it is definitely different from his first album, Elected Dead.
Elected Dead is totally different, and I mean, that's more or less because he was still coming off the System of a Down thing, and he's going after stuff. These songs have more or less kind of like a classical musical.
Yeah, more symphonic.
Yeah, they definitely did a great job with this album and everything like that. I mean, you were able to listen to most of the music. What were you thinking about it?
Actually, I really enjoyed it. It's, you know, I actually looked at you guys and I'm like, is this him? And you're like, yeah, I'm like, no.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to believe that it's, you know, how he puts his music.
It's one of those, you know, like, I listen to certain music to get me ready for a game or a fight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I could throw Imperfect Harmony onto an iPod and listen to it after to help bring me down.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you get that power that he brings through, but it's also relaxing at the same time.
The type of voice that he carries, he's very, very operatic.
Yeah, more or less with him, I felt that... operatic,
big word.
Yeah. Right here. Mm-hmm. Most people, people that, you know, they like System of a Down, but they know, they feel, or they think they know that Serj Tankian can't sing. This is the album that shows that he can sing. He's
got a beautiful voice.
When they go and put it together, I mean, when they go into a scream thing, yes, okay, it is kind of a little bit violent to the eardrums, but it's more or less to prove a point and, you know, get out there and say, okay, people are in pain, you know, all that other stuff. I mean, hell, look at the song, you know, I love the, yes, it's genocide. Yeah, I think it's more or less pushing towards the whole fact that the those motherfuckers just don't understand the whole fact that it was a genocide for the Armenians and everything like that.
Yeah.
It's fucking Turkey. Just
truth be told, let it go. I actually think I'm going to go out and buy the CD.
Yeah.
Well, I already own it.
Okay.
But anyways,
break into the Dutch house and steal his...
But, I mean, more or less, we definitely have to say for rating on this, you know, I give it 2 thumbs up, more or less, and along with the 5 stars, 2 thumbs up, everything, you know, all around, because it's just that good.
Pretty close to that. The only song that I really, I wouldn't say didn't enjoy, I just felt it was too weird, even for Serj, Electron.
Electron, yeah, Electron was a little off.
A little too much of the high pitch.
Do you know what that part was? I was over here pointing at it. That's the creepy part, because I knew which one you were going to say.
But, I mean, like, this felt like one of the songs from Elect the Dead, like, Sky is Over. Like, he went more into the actual piano playing the classical music, and that's what I was looking for, because that's who Serj is. And then next when he goes, if he goes back to System of a Down and everything like that, they're going to bring a hell of a lot more to the table, I hope, and not just be like how Metallica, seeing that I like ripping on Metallica right now. Seeing that, like, they had the whole thing with the Black album, and then after that, it wasn't as good. I mean, I could give it for the S&M album, which was the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra.
And the recent one, Death Magnetic, was really good,
too. Yeah, that was pretty good. But I just felt that the whole concept, when I was watching the whole special about VH1, you know, on them, they went through this whole, death metal, fuck you all, you know, kind of thing to... hey, we're in peace and harmony thing, and then they come back with the hair cut off and everything. You're just like, where the fuck did Metallica go? You know, it's kind of one of those things. But I'm hoping that if System of a Down gets back together at some point, it's not going to be like that. It's going to be, you know, they're going to work together, you know, just as well as they did as the Well-Oiled Machine, as they did from their self-titled album all the way up to
Hypnotized
and Mesmerized. So... more or less, that's what I have to say about that. But altogether, great album.
Yeah, and remember, Serj has also got the musical coming out.
Yes, he's got a musical.
Prometheus Bound, playing at the American Repertory Theater in Cambridge in February. And I cannot wait for that.
I might go to that.
If we can get tickets for it, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Hopefully it won't be too much. I'm broke!
we'll just sell you on the corner.
Yeah. I don't want to go to Essex Street. Can we go to Union Street this time?
Yes.
Okay, fine.
We'll just wait till older Spanish lady night.
No, not again!
Hey, you made a killing last time.
Yeah,
Hey, why don't we just go into Boston, go down to Lansdowne Street, and we can sell his ass right as the shows end at House of Blues.
Actually, you know what we should do? We should dress him up as a Yankees fan and have people pay $5 to punch him.
That or shoot paintballs at me. I'd rather take paintballs.
Yeah. You'd rather take paintballs than a punch in the face?
Yes. Paintballs.
Who said that about the face? Just arms. No. dude, you're like my brother. I can't even punch you in the face.
And I'm your trainer.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
I'll get it on the back end.
Now, speaking of Yankees, they're doing... Yank,
jerk.
All right, ready? Wait. Do you know what the Yankees are off doing right now?
They're masturbating.
No. Ready?
They're going...
Four!
Dink! Yeah, they went to the golf course because they got nothing else better to do now.
Yeah, good point.
Yes.
Derek Jeter is practicing his strokes, and he's washing his balls.
Yeah. Last night's game, we're glad to kind of catch on the side here, between like the watching the fighting and all that other fun stuff. But Yankees fucking lost 6-1. So
eliminating them from playoffs.
Yeah, they can go and jerk off in the corner.
Which sends Texas to their first ever World Series.
Which is awesome, but it's still kind of sad the fact that we were talking about Nolan Ryan earlier, which it's like, what the fuck? Nolan Ryan was one of the greatest pitchers in MLB history, and they never went to the actual big show there.
Because
it's not always one man and stuff like that. So,
because I was watching the game. Nolan Ryan was celebrating because the man's got the most strikeouts in baseball history by 1,000.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
But last night. Watching, the final pitch, the striker, and then all of a sudden you see Jeter and A-Rod's face, and all I had could say was,
"Yep, that's all you can say about that."
I couldn't stop laughing because the Yankees spent about an extra $150 million more than Texas did.
To try to get them to the World Series, they couldn't get there.
Which we could say is money doesn't buy everything, so, yes.
They lost so bad that George Steinbrenner rose from the grave and just dropped dead.
Yeah, just to drop dead again.
He didn't attack New York, come on.
Yeah.
It's still too soon to talk about attacking New York.
Yeah.
It's been 9 years.
Remember, South Park taught us it has to be 10.
Oh, no, right. I thought it was 21 because it was 21 years that AIDS came around.
That's right. Yeah. So. Okay, 21 years.
Yeah.
So you still got a long.
Yeah, we got to wait till 2022 or something like that.
And then we'll be too old.
But Uwe Boll did it in Postal.
Yeah, but remember
Postal. Jeez.
And then that became a controversy. Remember?
Yeah.
People were talking about that. They weren't happy.
All right. Anyways.
Okay.
The other game that's going on with the MLB here is San Francisco Giants with.
Philadelphia Phillies.
Yeah.
San Fran's leading 3-2. This is an elimination game for Philly, which could send San Francisco to the World Series.
I just want to say he could do it without Barry Bonds.
What do you mean? What? Barry Bonds has been retired for a couple years.
Yes?
He hasn't played baseball in 2 years.
Yeah, he's
Are you sure about that?
Yes.
I'll put every dollar in my wallet.
Fine. Because he's still here about Barry Bonds and everything.
Yeah,
Yeah, whenever...
Wow. Whoops, steroids!
No, he accidentally typed in, when did Barry Bonds die?
Yeah, my bad.
We're checking right now to see when he was last active. 07.
Yeah,
September 26th of 07 was his last plate appearance.
Oh, okay.
Exactly, so let me go check out the other thing with that, but keep talking.
So yeah, basically I want to see two teams in it who haven't won one in a while, and Texas hasn't won one. San Fran hasn't seen a World Series in 10 years, and they weren't even San Francisco at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So, truth be told, it's about time. Because the Phillies have won a couple, Yankees are the Yankees. Because before they became the San Francisco Giants, they were the New York Giants.
Yeah.
No, that's the bank. That's the baseball team.
No, it's right here.
It says it right here, man.
Yeah.
They used to be the New York Giants, and then they moved over to San Fran. So that was kind of like the whole thing all with right. Brooklyn Dodgers. They went from Brooklyn Dodgers to where they are now.
Continue with the football team.
They switched over to the football team.
And truthfully, I think San Fran has a better team because they have Matt Cain and one of my favorite pitchers to watch, Tim the Freak Lincecum, 2-time Cy Young Award winner, and he's nasty.
Yeah,
truth be told, he is absolutely nasty as a pitcher. So my prediction is going to be San Fran versus Texas in the World Series.
It'll be hard to see who actually wins it.
Don't ask me who's going to win it, because I want both teams so badly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'd be leaning more towards Texas on this one.
I'm actually leaning forward more towards San Francisco, because George Bush used to own the Rangers.
Yeah, yeah, I know, but
Nolan Ryan currently owns it.
Good point.
Yeah, so.
So I want to see that, but I also want to see these good players over at San Fran, because I like Lynn Sikkum, I like Matt Cain, I like Kung Fu Panda. That's the nickname of one of the players, Pablo Sandoval.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, funny little story. I was on the train the other day, and some dude was wearing San Fran jersey and a hat, claiming he was a Giant fan. Like, yeah, go San Fran. He's like, yeah. I'm like, Lynn Sikkum, Kung Fu Panda. And he looks at me dead in the face. He's like, dude, you got it wrong. Kung Fu Panda's a movie.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, you're not a fan. He's like, yes, I am. I'm like, Pablo Sandoval. He's like, yeah, Pablo. I'm a Kung Fu Panda. He's like, dude, movie. I'm like, no, that's the same person. And the guy had no clue. I hate wannabe fans.
Yeah, they're fucking morons.
At least the three of us here, you know, we know what we're talking about. And
for the most part.
Yeah, for the most part. All right,
I wasn't
going to
call
like,
you out on that.
Like, we're not the craziest fans out there. We don't know everything. But, yeah, he's usually the one that's all about that.
But the one thing I love about these two is if they don't know something, they'll at least jump on a computer and look.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, yeah, I know it.
Yeah.
They'll take the time, or they'll ask. You know, don't be a front runner. Yeah. At least, you know, with the group of us, if you know, comes to Boston sports, you know, like I tell everybody when the Red Sox, everybody said the Red Sox were out of it. I'm that kind of fan that I believe on the final game of the season, and we're 151 games out of first, I still believe we can do it.
All right. So, do you want to switch?
Let's jump
over
to the Bruins. Now, the Bruins are on a hot streak.
Yeah,
and I'm talking.
Well, I mean, they lost to the what?
The Coyotes.
Yeah, but besides that, I mean, they had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 wins. But six wins actually in the month of October right now, and they're going to be playing tonight, which is Saturday, which you'll probably already see what the hell happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, they're going against the Rangers, and the Rangers haven't been doing so hot as well. So it's
what
been,
it is that
Tim Thomas, that's who it is.
Yeah, one game that we lost, Tuukka Rask played net. The rest have been Tim Thomas. Tuukka Rask is in net tonight.
Yeah, so we've got a good chance of probably losing it.
No, because actually, every game that Tuukka Rask has played against the Rangers, he's won.
But the whole thing about this is that I don't know what's been going on with Tuukka Rask here. I mean, I know that he wasn't able to get that much backup when the season was coming to an end last year.
Yep.
And because of Tim Thomas being out with the injury, and also they were wanting to save him for the... what
playoffs.
Was that? The playoffs, but also the whole... What was that thing where he got honored? Anyways.
Fuck it. Okay, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I forget what it's called.
They had the whole setup where... You know, they were going to be doing, you know, with Tim Thomas, he's back and he's better than ever. I mean, some of the saves that he's made is just fucking ridiculous.
I kind of wish that Tim Thomas played like that in the Olympics last year.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I was talking about.
I thought you were still talking about Tuukka Rask.
Well, no, he got, you know, that whole thing where, you know, they got at the picking and everything like that for the Olympics. So it was good to see him get picked for that, but he was also still injured at the same time.
Yeah, but
so.
He still got his silver medal.
Yeah, exactly.
And he did see, you know, some play in the Olympics, so.
Yeah. But more or less, I mean, the only thing I had about the problem with October is it seems like there's just too many, like, breaks in between. But when you go and switch over to, like, November, it's like, fuck yeah, there's almost a game every other night, you know, kind
basically,
of thing.
And I look at the weekends and I'm like,
it's like, fuck
Saturday,
yeah.
Saturday, Friday. Well, it's like, literally, we can chill back and just watch.
Yeah, it's one of those setups that, you know, we like to go and chill out, watch, you know, what's going on with sports and everything like that, besides, you know, whenever we have, like, the fight nights and everything now. So, yeah, it's a great setup that, you know, that's going to be going on with this schedule. I'm actually pretty happy with this one starting up.
Yeah, because I know, like, you know, with my nights off, me and Blue, or, you know, even the Duck, if he's not working, we like to get together, couple cold beers, and literally just watch the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
you know, it's a good time, you know, whether it's basketball, football, baseball, hockey, you know, we're just sports fans.
Yep.
But with the Bruins, I'm feeling really good. That Nathan Horton kid, great pickup. You know, he's leading the team in scoring right now. You just have everybody playing well.
Yeah, yeah. It's starting to come together. And
but it's still October. So.
Hopefully they can keep this going through the whole season. I mean, that's what we're looking for the Bruins. Just make themselves good playoff contenders and just keep going up the thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But this coming week, you know, we have the Patriots versus the San Diego Chargers, which is going to be a good game. The Chargers' record doesn't show how good they've played. So that's the sad part. because they've been playing really well. People underestimate them, and I think the Patriots shouldn't, because their passing game and their defense is phenomenal. It's just, unfortunately, they don't put together enough to win. But the Patriots have stepped it up. We've got a decent running game, good passing game. Dan Branch, it's almost like he never left. And our defense is stepping it up. They finally manned up. I called them out on this show a while back.
Now, the one thing I have to say, speaking about Patriots, Junior Seau, what the fuck was up with that?
All right. The Junior Seau incident was, he was arrested for domestic violence.
Yep.
What was this?
Last week.
This was last week, if you didn't
see the news. Brought down, held, he, you know, was really sleepy, and basically what happened was when he was driving home, he fell asleep behind the wheel and drove his car off a cliff.
He did?
Yes. Because he fell asleep.
Yeah, he fell asleep, and
they pulled it up, he's fine.
I guess he was going pretty fast, and he cleared it, but I mean, the cliff was probably about 50 feet, maybe.
Something like that.
Yeah.
He's fine, he was treated and released, everything's good. And the DA announced that he will not be charged with domestic.
Yep.
Because there's no clear proof that he did it.
Yeah, I mean, this is the only thing that sucks about fame, more or less, is that whenever it comes to, you know, football players or basketball players, there are some of those people that are out to get them, and they should have been smarter to stay away from these type of people. Yep. But it's just one of those things, you don't know the people's intention until it comes around.
Yeah.
But, I mean, more or less, I'm not saying that he didn't do it or he did do it. So it's more or less, it's always a double-edged sword. You always just got to see what's going on. Along with that, I mean, it was a kind of a shitty thing to see that go on.
That's his name, okay.
But along with that, the Patriots are going to be playing this week, this Sunday, which is the 24th, and it's at 4:15.
Yeah.
At
Qualcomm Stadium in San Diego.
In San Diego against the Chargers.
Yes. Now, there's something else I want to talk about football related. It just popped up here while I was thinking about it. You know, the Duck is, you know, pulling up some other stuff for the next, you know, or the next segments. And I saw it again, you know, thankfully, because I can only remember the person's last name, but I wanted to touch on it. A few weeks ago, we were talking about safety in sports.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, last week, Rutgers was playing Army. End of the game, a good defensive player named Eric LeGrand was going to make a tackle on the Army kick returner. He lowered his head, went to make a good hit. The kick returner spun, causing LeGrand's head to twist.
Okay.
And he dropped.
Yeah.
And he laid there and didn't move. He was brought off by ambulance. He is currently paralyzed from the neck down.
Yeah.
Now, you know, we talk about all these sports injuries, and everybody's like, oh, he cheated, he did this, he did that, and there's a lot of bad-mouthing going on. But truthfully, as a player myself, as long as you can get up and walk away, I think you should keep your mouth shut.
Yeah. Now, what about this whole incident that was going on with the other player that got fined? And it seemed like it was actually a fair fucking, you know, knockdown.
Basically, what happened was James Harrison from the Pittsburgh Steelers, the linebacker. Guy came across, caught the ball. He placed his shoulder into his chest.
Just like every fucking coach has told their fucking, you know, players to do every fucking time.
Can you stand up for a minute? I want to show our fans what we're taught.
I mean, they're not going to see it through the podcast.
All right. You're taught from here to here.
Yeah.
To the right where your pockets are in your jeans. Boom. Place your shoulder through here.
Yeah, or like the protection leg pads usually on the thigh pad.
Right. So no headshots, nothing, you know, from the knee down, because you're going to injure the person.
Yeah, no going after collarbones, no whatever.
And he hit him right here.
Yeah, dead center.
He hit, and all of a sudden the NFL's like, oh, you hit him too hard.
Yeah, how the fuck can you say that when it's the NFL? I mean, fuck, they've had like some
NFL,
of the craziest
hit hard for a reason.
Yeah.
And basically they fined him $50,000, $75,000, something like that.
It was the most that they've ever seen for a hit and a fine. But I mean, like, there was a couple of years back when they started bringing in this rule because of the fact that there was the guys that were doing the launching. And I mean, like,
taking
we're talking about
ground.
Fucking Goldberg-style, like, launches. spearing the motherfuckers, which I wish I actually think that they could incorporate that, but the only thing is it's really fucking dangerous.
That, and you also have the ones where you have these defensive receivers jumping up off the ground,
yeah,
getting their hands up there, they can't even see you, and you come up straight underneath their shoulder pads, and you're ripping them
in
half. That, or they fucking, you catch them by the legs just the right way, and you see them flip over, you're like, oh fuck, don't land in your neck, don't land in your neck!
I'm sorry,
fuck.
I ain't gonna lie, I've made a guy do the helicopter once or twice.
Yeah.
But at least I kept it clean.
Mm-hmm. You know, for the most part, I think the concept is yeah, you can use the hits and everything like that, but I think if you're, as a defense person, you're going after an offense, you should wrap the fucker up at, you know, the way that you were taught to wrap up. Not this whole, like, bam, I just knocked you on your ass kind of thing with your shoulder pad. It's just not worth it. You can injure somebody just severely that way.
But James Harrison, who's a great player, actually took a day away from practice and contemplated retiring. Because he's like, if I'm going to keep on getting fined and losing money for playing,
why play? The only other thing that was stated, he wrote like a note or something like that that says, you know what, I don't mind, I mean, I'm not going out there to intentionally hurt anybody, but I don't mind that I hurt somebody whenever I'm on the field. That's more or less, it's not like he's like, oh, he's going to be a merc and just be like, you know what? I'm going to injure this fucking quarterback right now.
If it happens, it happens.
It fucking happens. It's more or less, that's how the sports go. It's pad on pad, you know, knees, you know, fucking knocking, everything you can think of that could happen. You get fucked up in this football game, and you can't always help, you know, getting knocked off onto the sideline and landing on the fucking tables that they have out there for the Gatorade or something.
Or I know I've landed on those sticks before.
Fuck, man, they hurt. They're not fun.
I pierced my thigh with one.
Yeah, so it's just one of those setups that you're playing the fucking game at your own risk, so I think the NFL should give him back his fucking money and be apologetic about that.
Brandon Merriweather for the Patriots got fined for, you know, a hit.
And it was like just a simple regular hit?
His wasn't. He didn't launch or anything, but, you know, it was a little bit different. But still, they're trying to get way too strict with hitting.
Yeah.
I think if both feet are on the ground and everything, and you're not, you know, trying to intentionally injure the person,
you don't want him to become, what was it on that episode of Family Guy, the London Sissy Nannies?
Yes.
I think the sad thing about this is if NFL is going to be as bitchy as this is, I mean, yes, fine, protect your quarterbacks because of the fact is they still need their, you know, their franchise, basically. Hold on one second. But I'm saying that if NFL keeps going on to this shit, it's going to just become, instead of on ESPN, it's not going to be NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. It's going to be UFL, MLB instead of NFL, because UFL is starting to come up and everything like that on its own, and that's one of those setups that I think they hit a fucking hell of a lot harder, and they've been doing a lot more with that sport too, and they're coming up.
Yeah.
Well, do you know what it is? They're trying to protect the running backs, quarterbacks, and wide receivers, because those are the ones that sell the fucking jerseys.
Well, yeah, I mean, they sell the jerseys, you know, any merchandise that they possibly can, but that's the other thing is...
And if you're lucky, the kicker, too.
I mean, like, let's put it this way, with the Patriots...
Terry sold a bunch of jerseys when he was here in the Patriots.
Yeah, but, like, let's put it this way, with the Patriots, we got, you know, Tom Brady. He's basically the face of the Patriots right now, just because he's the quarterback.
Mm-hmm. And with that Justin Bieber haircut.
So, when he got injured that year where he was out, you know, the whole year, and we had, what's his name?
Matt Castle
step up. I mean, that was one of those things that was like, holy shit, we just lost our fucking, you know, our hero of the fucking, you know, field and everything.
And
like
actually,
that.
You know, we really didn't watch too much football that year.
Yeah, we couldn't really watch it because it just wasn't the same.
Actually, didn't we join that flag football league instead?
Yeah, we joined the flag football league on the Sundays and stuff like that, so we could just miss the fucking games because it was that boring.
I mean, he had a good year, but it wasn't as exciting.
Yeah.
He had no flair.
I mean, this was like when Drew Bledsoe had that whole thing where he got injured, and then Tom Brady was able to step in, and he was the one that brought us, you know, into the Super Bowl and won it all. That was the main thing that we've been waiting for. One of those people that will step up and fucking take care of that. And Tom Brady, he's not one of those pussies that, you know, he runs on the field and he'll go for after somebody for the most part. He usually doesn't really slide as much.
Come on, you remember when he juked Brian Urlacher?
That was fucking impressive.
I love Urlacher. He's a great guy. I've met him a few times. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was going to make fun of him before. But, you know, we're spending a lot of time on this, so let's start moving on a little bit. Tonight, the group of us are going to be hanging out watching UFC 121.
Well, you two at least.
Well, I mean, you might be able to stop by later and stuff.
Yeah. Shut up!
But tonight we've got UFC 121.
Live from somewhere.
Wherever the fuck it is.
I forget where it is.
Who gives a shit?
It's okay. Now, let's start with the bottom of the fight card and work our way up.
Okay, fine.
All right.
Well, not a lot of these people are... we might not see much unless they're playbacks.
We'll go to Court McGee and start.
All right.
Next one? Well, okay. A little bit further up. Oh, wait. Here we go. First, we'll have Patrick Cody versus Tom Lawler. Now, Tom is...
The son. Isn't he the son of Jerry the King Lawler?
Yes.
Yeah!
There's also one issue with him.
What?
He's a heavy alcoholic.
Oh, fuck.
Tom Lawler?
Yeah.
So punch him in the liver and he goes down.
Well, yay. No, he tends to get drunk before fights. So that's an issue. Patrick Cody, 14-6. To Tom Lawler, 6-3 with one no contest. Next fight, we have...
Why would Dana White bring in someone like that?
Just because he's a punk drunk fighter.
Yeah.
That's
Oh, he's a good fighter, I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, but more or less, you'll have that one guy that's like, fuck it, I'll drink a shitload of whiskey or whatever before the fight just because I don't want to feel pain. I just want to put pain back on the other guy.
Now, this is a fight that I've been looking forward to. I've seen this guy fight Court McGee, who was the last season's Ultimate Fighter winner.
And he's doing pretty good considering he's 11-1.
Well, most of that record came before he made a pro.
But that's the thing. It's a good
It's a good record.
Yeah, it's a good record.
I chose him at the beginning of the season. I was happy when he won it. He's taking on Ryan Jensen. Court McGee's 11-1 to Ryan Jensen's 16-5.
Yeah. And this is like 185 or 84 kilograms more or less if you're all about that.
And that's the end of the regular undercard. Now let's go up to the fight main card. Where we have Brandon Schaub versus Gabriel Gonzaga.
And this is just going to be a fucking great fight altogether.
Gonzaga, I'm a huge fan of his. Brandon Schaub, he's up and coming. He has to earn himself.
Yeah, I think he's gonna have one hell of a fight on his hands.
Brandon Schaub is 7-1 compared to Gabriel Gonzaga's 11-5.
Yeah.
Now, this is going to be a good fight. The very next one, which is Matt Hamill, will be fighting his...
His biatch of a teacher.
Well, what do you call him? Mentor.
Mentor.
Tito Ortiz.
At the 205.
Or, if you want to get technical, Tito the Huntington Beach Bad Boy, which, I'm sorry if you're from Huntington Beach.
No. Huntington Beach Bad Boy.
And you bleach your hair as a dude, yeah.
Yeah.
Bringing Tito Ortiz's 16-7-1 record to Matt Hamill's 10-2.
So ugly to look at.
Ortiz has not won a fight in 4 years.
Yeah, he hasn't been doing so well.
Including
but,
two knockouts. I mean,
like the thing I could only say is he might talk to Matt Hamill and just be like, here, I'll pay you to fall on this fight just because I need a win. Mm-hmm. I need my eagle to be brought up again.
Yes. Let his eagle soar.
No, right. Ego. Not eagle.
Yeah.
Let his ego soar. Okay.
You have Diego Sanchez.
Versus Paulo Thiago.
You got
Thiago at 13-2, which is not too bad considering.
No. And Sanchez at 23-4.
Yeah.
Okay, now making his UFC debut, former Strikeforce champion Jake Shields, who's riding a 13-win fight streak.
And he's rocking 25-4-1 right now.
Taking on Martin Kampman, who's rocking a 17-3-0.
Which is pretty friggin' impressive.
Kampman's really good.
Yeah, he can move really fast. He's a fast mover.
I also like Jake Shields.
Yeah, I think I'm going for Jake Shields on this one.
We'll make our picks in a minute.
No, I want to go with Jake
Shields.
Shut
up, you. I shut you up now. Okay.
Fine.
And then, the main event of the night for the UFC Heavyweight Championship of the World. We have the challenger, Cain Velasquez. Hailing from Mexico with 8-0-0 record. Taking on the current UFC heavyweight champion of the world.
Shut up.
Brock Lesnar with a 5-1 record.
So now the thing about this fight is it looks like, I mean, Kane has a lot more experience with the 8-0, but it just depends on who he was fighting. We were talking about this at one point.
I looked at Kane Velasquez's record. He's only fought two guys that I even think are halfway decent. Which one was Antonio Minotauro Nogueira?
Which, he's a badass motherfucker.
He is, but he hasn't been fighting so well lately.
Yeah, that's true.
And then there's all, and remember, he's been injured, so.
Yeah.
And then he also fought Czech Congo, which Congo is not really that good. It's just a name that we recognize.
Yeah.
And Congo brought him to a decision. So that's one that he could have lost, too.
Yep.
So we don't know where, you know, it's going to go or how that's going to be. But let's start making our decisions.
Huh? Wait. One thing I have to say about Brock Lesnar's little, line here. It was pretty funny. It just popped up kind of like on the side here when I was looking at MySpace. It says, Brock Lesnar claims he ain't worried about his Mexican nemesis, Cain Velasquez. Just diarrhea you get when you visit Mexico.
Montezuma's revenge! Yeah,
you have to watch out for Montezuma's revenge because that is a motherfucker. All right, so let's go back to picking our thing. So we'll drop it down to where again here?
We'll go Tom Lawler and Patrick Cody first.
Okay. I think.
All right, so I'll make my picks and then you guys go.
All right.
Mm-hmm. I'll take Patrick Cody over Tom Lawler.
Yep.
Court McGee over Ryan Jensen. I'll take Gabriel Gonzaga over Brendan Schaub. Matt Hamill over Tito Ortiz. Diego Sanchez over Paulo Thiago. Jake Shields over Martin Campman. And Brock Lesnar over Cain Velasquez.
Right here.
Patrick Cody and Tom Lawler.
I'll take Cody over Lawler. Because okay. I think, you know, he might knock him out and then Lawler will be a little bit too drunk to...
He might be puking on the stage.
Yeah, basically.
Corey McGee or Ryan Jensen?
Let's see. I think I'd go with Jensen over McGee.
Ooh.
Yeah. All right, now we got Brendan Schaub versus Gabriel Gonzaga.
Let's see. How has Gonzaga been doing these past couple fights?
I wouldn't be able to tell you off the top of my head.
All right. But, I mean, 11-5 record is pretty good.
But there's also 7-1.
Right. I think I'll go with Schaub.
Okay. Now, T. Ortiz versus Matt Hamill.
Well, considering that Ortiz hasn't won a fight in over 40 years, Hamill's
But he's gonna... also taken time off, you know, come back from an injury, so he hasn't fought in a while.
Right. Hamill.
That and the supposed domestic. Anyways.
Sanchez
or Paul Thiago?
I think I'll go with Thiago.
All right. Sounds good.
Jake Shields or Martin Campman?
Jake Shields.
And then Brock Lesnar or Cain Velasquez?
Lesnar will throw Velasquez over the Mexican border.
Oh, fuck.
Oh.
All right, anyways, I think I'll go against the grain on this one. I want to see Tom Lawler win. I'll call on Tom Lawler.
Okay.
No, that's not the same way you spell Jerry Lawler.
Just shut up. Anyways, Court McGee, you know what? I'll take him as the up-and-coming because he looks good. Brendan Schaub is looking pretty good as well. I'll take him over Gonzaga. Ortiz, sorry, buddy. I mean, the whole thing that's great about, you know, the way that you train and everything like that, and I've watched how you've trained, it's great because you're up in the mountains and you're getting the blood cells up and all that other stuff, but you really got to grow the balls back and start fucking whipping ass in the cage again. I think whatever you got to do that, go ahead and do it, but I don't think you got a chance to get Matt Hamill, so I'm taking Matt Hamill on that one. Well, it seems like Diego Sanchez does have the experience on this one, so I'm going to go with Diego Sanchez against Paul Thiago. Jake Shields, definitely. I love his fighting style. When he was over at Strikeforce, he kicked some serious ass. And Martin Campman, he might just go down just because of the fact that he looks like he's a pussy.
Yes.
But anyways, Brock Lesnar, most definitely. Cain Velasquez, I mean, more or less, it seems like the Great White Hype, except the Mexican version, more or less. It seems like, you know, you can build up these guys and make them win 8-0 and stuff like that, but when they step into the cage with a real fucking big, you know...
Especially the 25-pound weight difference.
Yeah, I mean, you got 265, well, he weighed in like 264, he was, you know, 1 pound or 8.
And Velasquez weighed in at 240s.
So, you know, it's kind of like the weight and the, you know... I just don't think Kane is going to be able to put as much pressure as Shane Carwin did on Brock Lesnar. Which
because Carwin actually had the same weight.
Yeah, that was the thing. When Kane, he was fucking rocking Brock in like the first round. We thought it was already over. We were like, God damn it, why? Why, motherfucker, why? Except I was with Shane Carwin because of the fact that, I mean, I was playing the Undisputed game and I let them do the computer battle, and 2 out of 3 times Shane Carwin won. But more or less, the whole setup with Shane Carwin, you know, dropping those bombs on fucking Brock Lesnar's face, we couldn't believe the fucking sounds that we were hearing on the surround sound system that we had. Cringing, we were like, oh, yes. My fucking head! Brock, I don't know how you're going to stand this. Like, tomorrow morning, you're going to be fucking hurting. But he was able to get back up and kick the living shit out of Shane Carwin and stuff like that.
And then the next morning, he woke up and he said, oh, my jaw hurts, picked up a Cadillac and ate it.
Yeah, exactly. So
he's like, I'll go with a light metal today. Yeah. American Steel.
That and his you know, lunch is titanium, so yeah.
But, and then he bathes in just cold ice. I remember seeing when he was doing that, when he was fighting the Rocket, like, I believe it was the 2001 SummerSlam.
Yeah.
His and then training. He got on with his wife. Well, you know who he's married to, right?
Yeah. Who?
Sable.
No way. No fucking way. She's still around? No, I'm just kidding.
I think she looks hotter now.
Yeah. All right, well, that's what we have to say about this right now. I think, are we breaking off sports now?
I guess so. Actually, can you jump over to Strikeforce real quick?
Strikeforce? Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about Strikeforce.
So last night, you know, we all got together and we watched Strikeforce, their Challengers Edition, which we got some really good fights.
Yeah, it was actually pretty good. Oh, shit.
And
tomorrow's fight? Yesterday's fight?
Hold on, let's see if we can pull it off.
Well, anyways, talk about this one.
All right, well, there's a
fight. No, it's December 4th, yes! So yes.
Yes.
So we could go, yeah, all right, that's cool. Go to
December 4th from St. Louis, Missouri. There's going to be a fight that I know me and Blue, we've been waiting a very, very long, long time for. Now, not only does Herschel Walker fight.
Yeah, but they don't know who he's fighting yet.
Oh, wait, dude. Wrong Lawler, man.
Anyways,
No, it's Robbie Lawler.
Oh, there's Robbie Lawler. My bad.
Not Tom Lawler.
Tom Lawler? Oh, well, then he's going to be drug fighting.
No, Tom Lawler's an alcoholic.
Oh, right, okay. Anyways.
So Robbie Lawler.
Holy shit, dude.
Bigfoot's fighting?
Yeah. Dude, that's an awesome card. This is a fucking crazy-ass card that they just came
up with. They just actually announced it, but let's go to the top so I can announce the main fight.
Yep.
The big fight of the night. I'm going to announce it, you know, in really, really cool fashion. Fuck you. I said, fuck you.
Anyways.
All right, standing 5'11" tall, weighing 205 pounds with a record of 25-8, Dan Hendo Henderson.
I've got a shirt.
And he'll be facing standard 6'1", weighing 205 pounds, with a 36-8 record.
Yep, 36-8.
Wow. And give it all.
Renato?
Renato. Babalu Sobral.
Don't quit your day job.
No.
Wait. Well, I don't have the Mexican accent. Maybe I should ask Cain Velasquez how to do it. Let me work on my diaphragm.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's going to be a really, really great fight. And I'm looking forward to it. But last night's fights, they gave us some really, really good ones. Actually, my personal fight of the night had to be the Bobby Volker fight. The final fight we saw, he fought Roger Bowling.
Yeah.
It was the rematch. And these two, I mean, they battled it out to a decision.
Now, the one that I really liked was
heavyweight. No, I'm sorry. That ended in the second.
The one that I really liked was the heavyweight.
LeVar Johnson?
Oh, dude, LeVar Johnson laid the fucking smackdown on that motherfucker. Come on. I called it this guy hamburger, you know, me too.
Virgil, I mean, he laid one punch across his jaw against the cage, and he literally just collapsed. We were watching, and we couldn't believe it. But do you know what fight I really, really enjoyed of the night? Billy Evangelista versus Joaquin Spirit Wolf.
I think this was the fight that went all the way.
This went all the way.
To the decision. And that was the thing that Spirit Wolf, I have to give it up to him because he did a fucking fantastic job. And he looked like he was dazed a couple of times, but he was just throwing. And that's the fucking fights that we really like to see is the guys that will just keep going to the point where they can't fucking stand up any longer.
You know, that's what you call a carry-out fighter.
Yeah.
You know, win, lose, draw, give it everything you have, and let them carry you out of the ring. Now, there was a female fight last night. Which was
pretty impressive.
It was pretty good. Julia Budd versus Shayna Olsen.
Which one was the Canadian?
That was Julia Budd, which it's kind of funny. We had a couple female friends over last
night. Yeah, and they were actually enjoying it. And they were actually calling out who was who and everything like that, you know. It was pretty funny. They were like, I'm the Canadian. Fuck you.
And then it's like, you know, it's a fight, and it's like, she's getting her ass beat. It's like, yeah. It's like, I'm beating your ass, bitch. It's like, oh my God, it was awesome.
Yeah. And then it got to the point where we just wanted to actually see them fight, but, you know. We'll wait until we get our whole, like, you know, pad set up in the side yard, and then we can actually have, like, our own little fight things on the side yard.
Or we could just get a pool full of oil and...
People were saying Jell-O last time.
Blue Jell-O!
Yeah, Blue Jell-O. There you go.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Because, you can't do red Jell-O because you can't tell who's
bleeding or not, but... Yeah.
I want
last night for Strike Force was very impressive. And if you don't know what Strike Force is, if you have Showtime, or you should get Showtime, and they have the fight setups, and you can watch it basically whenever the hell you want. And you could see these guys, you know, it's another version of UFC, basically. It's lower end, but hey, it's fucking UFC. So.
I think we should move on, considering
the time
we're an hour in and. We still got movies and anime to cover.
Yeah, and video games.
I don't think we'll get through.
Yeah, won't get through that, but I think we should probably move those to probably actual, like, articles, maybe.
But let's jump over to the movie. This week, we watched the movie Circle of Pain.
And when you know that the biggest star in the thing is Dean Cain, you know you're in trouble.
No, because it's a USC-based movie, and they actually had three really, you know, good fighters in there.
Mm-hmm.
Heath Herring,
yep.
Frank Mir.
And Santa Claus.
Yes, Black Santa Claus, Kimbo Slice. Now, granted, Frank Mir was only in it for about 35.3 seconds.
Yet, he got one of the top billings.
Because, well, you know, he's a fighter. But basically what happens is Heath Herring is the big champion fighter about to break a record set, you know, by this retired fighter.
I like how Kimbo Slice gets top billing and he's only in two fucking scenes.
Yeah, that's a funny thing.
Well, no, they don't have him in this top area.
Well, no.
In the actual poster.
Well, no, they just showed all the three fighters in there. That's why.
And that was the only other thing, that Kimbo Slice wasn't actually playing a fighter. He was playing a football player.
Yeah.
And he was in a bar, and they made fun of him, and then they got into a fight.
I was like, hey, I want to sit on your lap, and I want to tell you what I want for Christmas.
Wait, okay. Now, Dean Cain wasn't the biggest person in this one. I have to say, Bai Ling is one of the
she
top.
She is famous.
About her accent in this film, I don't think
she uses that accent all the fucking time.
Well, no, she didn't use it for when she was in the show Lost.
Yeah.
Either way.
But I truly liked Dean Cain's part in it, because... It gave us the entire all-around look of this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's basically gets forced into fighting again. Because, you know, he plays Dalton Hunt. And he's forced into fighting again because his old contract had one fight left when he retired.
Yeah.
Bai Ling's character forces him to fight Heath Herring's character.
She kicks the ex-wife and child out of their home.
Yep. Yeah. And he decides to do it. He trains and now... They give you a whole backstory of what winds up happening. Dean Cain is fighting his best friend.
And they were joking around. Who is Dalton.
Yeah.
And you know, they're going at it. When a kick was thrown, Dean had turned around to try to do like a spinning elbow.
Yes.
And the foot hit him in the spinal cord, actually breaking it.
He goes, ow, you turned me into Christopher Reeve. How awkward. Now,
it's one of those, you know, you're like, oh, we only got kicked in the back. But when you're a fighter and you're trained for your legs to be able to actually break bone, especially in Muay Thai, yeah, that's, you know, that could be deadly. So he retired. You know, Dean Cain plays a guy named Wyatt who convinces him to do it again. Mm-hmm. He trains and gets back in the cage against a real MMA fighter in Heath Herring. And it's, I thought it was a good movie on the basis of the story.
Everything else just was meh.
Some of the acting was a little bit bad.
Yeah, but most of these people aren't professional actors either.
I know that, but still. They could have at least gone to a few acting school classes.
Yeah, well, but you're training for fights.
The whole thing with the main guy, you know, Dalton Hunt, when he goes and kicks the guy, when he kicks, you know, Dean Cain's actor in the back. And he drops like that, and he goes, oh, God, no, what have I done? You know, it kind of was
like, oh, God.
It
looked like
it was kind of a little pushed, but, I mean, sometimes...
Yeah, little pushed. Come on. It was really pushed.
But, I mean, right now, IMDb with 378 votes, it's rocking a 3.7. I guess a lot of people didn't like it, but I didn't mind it so much. It was actually pretty good.
It's a good movie to make fun of while watching.
Yeah.
Oh, whoa. You know what? I enjoy movies like this. You know, it's a very, very, very low budget movie.
Mm-hmm. You see, we need to rock out the Tom Servo and Crow and just start doing the whole Mystery Science Theater 3000 to these MMA films.
Basically. But I did like the fact that, you know, and King, you agreed on this one, was the fact when they do the kick and the blood splatter on the camera.
Yeah, I will admit that was a very creative effect.
Greatest scene I think I saw in this entire movie that actually made me believe it was real. Was when he was running and he actually puked.
Yeah.
Now, as an athlete, I know, especially during mini camps for football,
if that happens a lot.
Three times in a practice, you didn't push yourself.
Yeah. Lots of tits in this movie.
There were nice tits in this movie. There was Bai Ling with her giant nipples,
great boobies, and great ass.
Although, who stops a blowjob to go out and punch a guy in a wheelchair?
Yeah, but he broke his hand. Come on.
But still, the girl was hot. How could you stop a blowjob?
No. The question is how could he stop and look out the window while it's happening?
I know.
The guy, first of all, then tell the guy to stop and then beat the shit out of him.
Maybe he was secretly in the closet.
Yeah, he probably was secretly in the closet. Yeah. He's like, all right, what guy can I look at now? Wheelchair guy, I'm going to beat him.
Oh, baby. Oh, I'm done. Let me go beat him up now. I'm sorry, touch him. Okay. Uh-huh. So, what do you guys give for a rating on this movie?
I give it like a 2.1 out of 5.
Ouch.
How about you?
I'll give it a 3.4.
All right, I'll give it a little bit higher rating. I'll give it a 3.8. Does that work? I think it was done pretty well. I mean, they were able to get a good professional camera and record it.
But this tap out just needs to get better script writers. I'm sorry.
I didn't think the script was that bad.
The dialogue.
It's just sometimes the people. It's not always the scriptwriters. It's the directors and stuff like that. It's whoever goes, which works together to make this, you know, a movie and stuff like that. Yeah. So it just depends on how it works out like that.
Okay.
I mean, but all in all, I mean, we've seen a lot worse movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that last MMA film.
No, even worse than any of these MMA films.
Vampires suck?
No, well, I mean, we've seen some of those parody movies. Come on. You have to admit, these tap-out movies are 100 times better than those.
I'll admit that any of those tap-out films are 500% better than any of those epic movies and state movies and disaster movies. And
Vampire Suck wasn't that bad.
The movie wasn't too bad.
Actually, I liked the one that horror movie. Stan Helsing wasn't bad. That movie made me laugh my ass off. But,
Really? Because all I could hear was crickets chirping throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
Dude, you laughed like 3 times.
You laughed at least 4 or 5 times. Right. Shut up.
But when you go see a comedy, you expect to laugh hundreds of times.
No, this was supposed to be making fun of those movies. That's why.
All right, let's go from
movies to Desert Punk.
Desert Punk, the anime. Featuring everyone's favorite song, Your Mother's a Dirty Whore.
Your Mother's a Dirty Whore.
Well, Desert
Punk. LeBron James.
Yeah.
Come on. LeBron James' mom slept with Delonte West. Come on.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So, anyways, let's just put it this way. It has a whole setup where it's got this character who's kind of like, I want to say short person.
He's
vertically challenged.
Well, he's actually just 13 years old. You didn't see episode 3 where you get to see what he looks like under the mask.
Oh, okay. Well,
he's like a little. He's basically a kid. And
I liked how they did the reference in the first episode with the girl with the massive boobies. Well, I was just like, boobies.
Listen to Tiss McGee. Yeah. I'm out there fun knockers.
And so he kind of Kevin Nealand it, basically. He was doing a subliminal, like, you know, hitting on her. It was pretty great.
Yeah. Actually, I ain't gonna lie, I was watching, I wanted a glass of milk. So when I came down, and Duck's mom's like, do you want juice, milk? Milk.
Yeah.
With that cake.
Well, basically, the story takes place like hundreds of years from now, where society has gone backwards. If you want, would like to say, people are now living in like houses built out of sand, and there's like really no technology.
Oh my God, Chernobyl all over again!
No, the technology is shotguns and weapons and stuff like that.
Weapons. We do not condone violence.
Right. Yeah.
Much.
And basically, Desert Punk is a bounty hunter and...
Mercenary.
A mercenary, yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
And he's gotta go and, you know, do all these different jobs in order to survive the desert. Because what do they call it? It was a desert that smelt of a... what was the phrase that they used?
Death?
Well, no. Was it when you fart and then you, Dutch oven them.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
A Dutch oven. A desert that smells of a Dutch oven.
Yeah, so in the first episode, I dealt with, you know, the main character. The pudding guy, or basically, he was all about the pudding.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was kind of strange, but it was also very comical because it starts off with this family, like, going through the desert, and these punks from a gang, messing with them and trying to steal their stuff and curb-stomping them.
I was like, I'm going to have you later as your wife, and...
They take it off, and she's absolute hideous.
It's like,
yeah.
You asshole! How can you make us think that your wife is hot? She's as ugly as fuck! Oh, you must die!
And then the other part was, he's like, oh, I could protect my family! She goes, why did I marry such a tool?! Yeah, so, I mean, it was pretty clever and funny at the same time where they were doing the English... It's an English dub,
yes,
now over the Japanese.
Yes, it's an English dub. It's...
And they did a pretty fucking hilarious
Funimation
job.
Funimation does an amazing job of comedies, because they're the ones who licensed Sergeant Frog and My Bride is a Mermaid, School Rumble. They practically give their A game when they do comedies.
Yeah. Hmm. But also stick with the storyline, even with the translation and everything.
Right.
Like that,
so. I think the only one that they really couldn't deal with was Shin-Chan.
Yeah.
But that was still really funny.
Hey, Duck, cover your ears for a minute.
Why?
I gotta say something.
Why?
Because I need you. Because
you just earmuffs. Earmuffs.
Fine.
Earmuffs.
This is like my second favorite anime ever.
I heard next to Sergeant Frog.
You're not supposed to exceed any, that, you're in a bubble. You're an earmuff bubble. You actually can't hear it.
Fine.
So anyways, it was, it was pretty funny and clever at the same time. And yes, she had great knockers. I cannot lie about that one.
I would have loved to have seen this in live action, though.
They did the live action in the beginning with Junko and the Desert Punk. Junko is the one with the giant knockers.
Really? Anyways.
Yeah. But later, I've seen the first 12 episodes of this, so I've seen half the show. Later on, he gets an apprentice, a 14-year-old girl named Kosuna.
Okay.
Does she have giant knockers?
No, she's actually very small.
Just like him.
I thought he was going to obtain the apprenticeship with, Spider?
Rain Spider. And I like how that old guy does two songs about each of them.
I know.
And then they're like, wow, those songs sucked. Really? Is this what they have to write about?
The other thing was, is they went into a Naked Gun, basically, battle where it was one behind the other rock, and they were shooting at each other, and they were taking turns. They were like, bang! Bang, 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 and they were just going back and forth. They got to the point where they ran out of ammo and started throwing rocks at each other.
And they threw knives, and then they started shooting elastic bands.
Yeah. So that's why that one was called Rock, Paper, Scissors.
Yes.
So, but yeah, I mean, they did a pretty funny and clever job with this setup, and I can only hope that it's on Netflix, so I can
watch it. And I figured we would talk about it because it's getting re-released in, like, a collector's edition in a couple weeks with Funimation, cheaper Criterion sort of work set up.
Well, I mean, I'd probably watch a few more episodes.
It gets funnier. You haven't seen the episode where he has to go up against, like, a cursed shrine.
Just remember, though, you're still in the Airmuff bubble.
From what I've seen so far, 5 stars easily for Desert Punk. This is probably going to be a cartoon that I'm going to just love from start to finish.
Yeah, all right. I'll have to agree with that too. Five stars, basically.
And you gotta love the weaponry too.
apparently, Anvil gives 5 stars.
Yep.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, you didn't have to say it. You were pointing at your hand, going 5.
I love.
Oh wait, are you talking about Subway? You want a $5 foot long? You fucking fat whore. Anyway,
you gotta give it 2 for this Winchester model. That shotgun he's got.
Yeah, that was. I like that how they did the actual graphics
and
on the shotgun.
M1 Grand.
The M1 Grand from Rain Spider was just fucking sexy. So yeah,
I wanted M1 Grand now.
And like how he like can fling around with his grappling hook that he could just shoot.
Yeah, and that's the funny thing was is they make it seem like he's supposedly a legend or something like that, and they make him seem like he's invincible, and it was pretty funny.
The
how,
demon of the desert.
Yeah, they were doing all that other stuff. How they made him seem like he was actually, like, you know, a real, you know,
demon.
Legend or demon or something like that. They did a pretty fucking good
job.
But
when he's just a horny teenager.
Yeah, he is. Very much so.
Yes.
I mean, even to the point where it's just like, oh, I wish that, you know, women weren't created and blah, 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 this and that, because, you know, I would be
able to concentrate. Her jobs weren't so bad.
So, yeah, I mean, definitely go and check out this.
It's on Netflix. You can watch the first 4 episodes dubbed on the Funimation site if you don't have Netflix. You can watch all the episodes subbed. I haven't listened to the sub yet, but I've got a feeling it's not going to be as strong as the dub.
Yeah, exactly.
Because like I said, with Funimation, when they do dubs for comedies, they always manage to do it like 500 times better than the Japanese version. Because there's a lot of stuff in the Japanese version that gets lost in translation.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
So, how are we doing on time?
We got 5 minutes left.
Oh, fuck. I guess we're going to have to stick a fork in this show and leave that for next time, or just make some articles for these. Because I think there's probably going to be a lot more stuff on the online soon.
Well, it's all my fault. So
you fucking suck!
And I didn't even touch everything in sports.
I know.
So, last thing in sports.
Yankees still suck.
No, Red Sox pitching coach has been offered the job to manage the Toronto Blue Jays.
Oh, okay.
So,
we haven't figured out if he's going to take it or not.
He's been offered it. DeMarlo Hale was another candidate from, you know, the Sox, but John Farrell was offered, and he'll probably take it because it's a lot more money.
Yeah.
So, good luck
to him. They also offered it to a hockey stick because, you know, they trust hockey up there in Canada.
In hockey, we trust. It says it on all their money. See, America, we put in, God we trust, they put in hockey. I like their money.
And it's weird because they have the Queen on the Canadian money.
I don't get it.
Me neither.
No, wait.
But they have the Queen.
I got a question. Do they have the Queen or the band Queen?
The Queen. I would be cool to see Freddie Mercury on the coin.
Maybe a commemorative.
I could see them like selling that too. Oh, it's been so many years since Freddie Mercury has passed away. Here is his commemorative coin.
And then they have his
autopsy photo. Here's the colored one, and the other side is just total silver.
He's just laying there, and it's his autopsy photo.
Oh, that's fucked.
That is fucked, dude. Freddie Mercury was the greatest singer of all time.
Whoa, you can't say all time.
Dude, there has not been another vocalist like Freddie Mercury.
Or the music has been produced like his.
Yeah, have you ever heard a Freddie Mercury impersonator? No, because no one can just emulate his voice.
I have.
You have? And how bad was it?
Oh my god.
See, that hasn't been a good Freddie Mercury impersonator because no one can have
They were his so voice. Bad I started to believe in God. Because only God can create something that horrible.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm done. Let's take a fork in us.
Let's take a fork in this bitch.
Remember, check out our website at bostonbastardbrigade.com featuring news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring all of us. And if you want to contact us for comments, requests, anything else, or if you have any events that you recommend us checking out, it is at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com, and I see you mouthing that, you motherfucker.
We're also on myspace.com/bostonbastardbrigade. We have the whole setup on Facebook as well in the group, and you can check out that. We're starting to put up a lot more stuff, along with, you know, the whole Lovesack thing. Go to lovesack.com and check them out, too. Great couches, you know, and they're opening up a store in Burlington very soon, so you go and check that out as well.
Lovesack.
On the love com. Sack.
No.
Get it on at the love sack. Okay, I'm done. And don't forget our sisters at the Electric Sisterhood at esh.mobi. Go show them some love and check out Geek Agro while you're at it. Mm-hmm. And also watch our website. We'll be putting up stuff really soon for our fundraising efforts.
Yep.
How soon?
Well,
a month from now.
Well technically, we just got to sit down and discuss it.
Yeah.
And We have to discuss
that
it with
sell
our bands.
Our ass.
I mean, we have to talk to our two bands.
Well, I know a lot more people too.
We got to do that. We got to do other bands and stuff like that. So we'll just try to figure that out.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we get a band, like a good place to, you know, get a bar and the good music and stuff like that. Yeah. So
I was thinking about maybe doing like an acoustic set too for the Stampede Rainbow Terrace, and even asking our friends Hannah Cranton and Adam McGinn to come join us.
Yes. I haven't seen Hannah for a while.
I saw her a couple days ago.
Oh, really? How's she been doing?
She's been doing good.
Aww.
So, I mean, we'll discuss
this
in a little bit.
She might actually do something for B3 with, like, on a future episode.
Yes.
Cool. But, yeah, the three of us can talk about it after the show.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So, until next time, this is Jim Baby Duck.
This is Blue Onyx.
And this is Andrew.
Saying sayonara, bags.
Bastards?
No, yep. Sayonara, bitches.
Yeah, sayonara, bitches.
I'm tired. My mouth is dry.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll get you a drink in a minute. All right. Sayonara, bitches.
We are the Bastards.